Welcome to New Definition Leadership Radio, our 30-minute interpretive biz segment. I'm your host, Violet Kashua, Corporate Intuitive Advisor, pleased to welcome our community of listeners. You can visit me at www.newdefinitionleadership.com to learn more about intuitive business analysis and the NDL Workforce Learning Center. Listeners can opt in for a free ebook copy of Leadership Purpose Essentials, a telling of the spiritual life of purpose-driven 21st century leaders in a global transformational era of consciousness evolution. Our listener call-in number, 347-539-5800. Today, our distinguished guest, Christian leadership author Vincent Skip Vaccarello, Finding God in Silicon Valley, Spiritual Journeys in a High-Tech World, Amazon number one bestseller. Our feature topic, Faith in the Corporate Sector, How 21st Century Leaders Recognize God at the Root of Business Success. Doing the right thing in business is important to the majority of leaders, but this may not have anything to do with walking out a faith life. The acts of corporate social responsibility are set by a criteria of global standardized compliance, as well as our demonstrating any number of emotional intelligence competencies, or for that matter, spiritual intelligence, doesn't necessarily amount to anchoring faith in our business lives. Yet, there is a different measure of success that does clearly manifest in and through our lives and our business enterprise, invariably overflowing into the spheres of influence and the larger business community when we posture our hearts, our spirit, and our human will toward faith. And the humble act of prayer and obedience and understanding what God is doing next for ultimate generative outcomes. And in so doing, our lives are clearly enriched. There is also a fine line in how we are engaging faith in the workplace and in our business. In the corporate sector, opposing views are protected by the civil right to both enact prayer and worship in the workplace and to be exempt from influence. Today's spiritual pluralism allows for multiple considerations and thinking about faith and fellowship in the workplace. Hanukkah, Diwali, Easter, Dharma Day, and even Buddhist mindfulness practices in some of the top Fortune companies are all wildly celebrated. However, there is an issue of violating the United States Constitution to separate church and state under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Title VII's protections against religious discrimination in the workplace apply equally to those who practice a non-theistic religion and to those who profess no religious belief. In the thrust of everyday life, hundreds of Christian leaders from all walks of life and industry are sharing personal and intimate experiences about their faith, our intimate relationship with a living God, offering direction, strength through adversity, and renewal in our faculty to make generative choices, standing on a firm foundation of faith. In some instances, to which I can personally attest, we're moving by prophetic insight, our business as ministry, and even the supernatural to fulfill the promises of God for our particular business. With a strong departure from perhaps what one might expect in the lives of Tech Valley executives, the region's Christian leaders are depositing rich stories of a faith-filled walk with God into breakfast prayer meetings, boardrooms, stakeholder and public conferences. For instance, Paul Eli, former Hewlett-Packard executive and board member, Pat Gelsinger, VMware, Victor Ho, core founder and CEO of Five Stars, Jada M., executive director, Freedom House, Greg Jamison, former president and CEO of the San Jose Sharks, and Josh Kwan, helping entrepreneurs build high-impact organizations, Chris Norwood, educating and equipping the next generation, and Kirk Perry, Google president of Brand Solutions, and many more. Is Silicon Valley experiencing a revival inspired by a move of God? Our distinguished guest, Skip Vaccarello, author of the Amazon number one bestseller in Christian leadership, Finding God in Silicon Valley, has captured a glimpse of what God is doing next in California's tech industry through the lives and the hearts of technologists, entrepreneurs, venture capital, investors, and others. He is a veteran business leader with 30 years of experience in leadership positions for Silicon Valley technology companies, going back as early as the late 1970s as the VP of operations with VisiCor. He has served as president and CEO of Applied Weather Technology, CEO of Communication Solutions, and CEO of the Saratoga Group. Presently, he acts as principal consultant with the executive mentoring firm Corora Partners. Mr. Vaccarello has earned a BA in economics with honors from Harvard and an MBA with honors from the Boston University School of Management. Welcome, Skip Vaccarello, and thank you so very much for joining us today for New Definition Leadership Radio.
Violet, it's a pleasure to be with you and a privilege. Thank you.
Congratulations on your Amazon number one bestseller book for Christian leadership. I know this important success has drawn the attention of a global media, and you are kind to grant as many interviews as your busy schedule permits. And does your popular keynote prayer breakfast. But I'd like to dive into our discussion today about faith in the corporate sector with your perspective on some deeper questions. But first, would you please talk about the defining moment for writing such a rich, story-filled documentary and compilation of stories from the region's leaders, Finding God in Silicon Valley, and to whom you wrote this book?
Violet, yes, happy to do that. I came to faith in Silicon Valley. I had grown up as a church-going believer, but I'm also a child of the late 60s and 70s when the whole country seemed that was in turmoil, as many lives of people in that generation were as well. And many in my generation gave up on things like business and faith, as I did. So it was about 20 years if you were to ask, I would have said I believed in God, and I would have called myself a Christian, but certainly wasn't practicing that. But through a variety of circumstances, and as I began to experience some success, I sensed that there was more to life than business and success, and it was what I would call something missing. But Blaise Pascal, I later learned, called a God-shaped void in each one of us, and he pierced that void at one point and introduced me back to faith and into a Bible-believing church. And so I came back to faith. And when I went back, he planted a desire on my heart to help to live out my faith, first of all, day-to-day in business. And as you mentioned, I've been involved in high-tech companies, mostly in the software industry, for a number of years. But to try to live that faith out day-to-day in business, but then also to help others to discover, that joy that comes with a faith, a deep faith, a deep abiding faith. So, I got the idea when I was back at a Harvard reunion, and I got a book called Finding God at Harvard. And God and Harvard didn't seem to fit in the same sentence, and I realized that Silicon Valley and God doesn't seem to fit in the same sentence. So that was really the genesis of the idea of the book, because I found that there are many deeply committed believers here in Silicon Valley. So it took about 20 years for me to get the time and energy to put together the book. And anyway, I'm pleased. It does seem to be getting attention. And I would say that it's maybe early to say that there is a revival or a movement in Silicon Valley, but there is the beginning of one, I believe. Silicon Valley is certainly a pretty secular place, but God's really at work here in the many Bible-believing Christians coming alongside and living out their faith in the workplace. And that was the reason that I wrote the book, to describe what is going on and how God's working in the lives of people.
It's true, and it's very important. I personally believe that God makes it clear that he is moving outside the four walls of the church in the marketplace, and this is exemplified in the lives of leaders. How are we, as Tech Valley is a multicultural and diverse mecca, a real hotspot in the global corporate sector right here in Silicon Valley, both to truly tolerate and respect religious freedom and even atheism in the workplace, and yet be so deeply moved to publicly share with others our experiences of a faith walk, specifically here the Christian leadership faith walk. Is the term faith to be redefined for some and not others?
Well, it's one of the things I love about living in this area and working in Silicon Valley is that it's an amazingly diverse and rich environment, and we can learn from each other. I don't know that there is a different definition of faith, but what I would say is that the most important thing in the workplace to really show your faith, I believe, is to be the best employee you can be, to work as hard as you can. And you know, it is, I think, not appropriate always, certainly, to share your faith or impose it on other people. That's not the way that I look or the way that I believe the Bible or Jesus would look at sharing your faith in the workplace, but it's to be an example to other people, to be a great worker, and to live by biblical values, meaning with integrity, honesty, to be respectful of everyone, no matter what their faith may be, or no faith, to be respectful for everyone. Jesus loved everyone, and as a follower of Christ, we're called to love everyone as well. It's my sense that if you act that way in the workplace, you'll draw people to you, and then you'll have opportunities to share your faith. But it's one that you know, and there are great opportunities here in Silicon Valley, I believe, to do that.
It's true, and it's very important that we also can stay in adhering to the commitment in our practices and demonstrating the greater values of a faith walked life, and certainly the values of the Lord Jesus Christ through biblical understanding and application. It is about loving others, and it's very important that we not give way, if I might say so, to political spirit and political correctness, nor religious spirit. And that's why I'm asking about, is faith to be, you know, redefined for some and not others? The ideal is truly the characters of involvement and engagement, to love others well and to create that tolerance out of a clear understanding of practice. I write about functional holism in business empowerment and spiritual intelligence competencies, unlocking and interpreting the messaging of leadership purpose blueprints and translating that impact of an authenticated spiritual purpose into the corporate sector that has far-reaching consequences in a transformational era of consciousness evolution. This extends to revealing workforce and company purpose as being in alignment with the greater needs of society. How would you help leaders to learn, to understand, and interpret the messages, what God has planned for their leadership purpose, if you will, and their workforce or company purpose? What are some practical things that leaders can do to truly dive into the quiet and private place and understand and interpret purpose messaging for their leadership?
Well, let me speak from a Christian perspective, which is what I have, and I honor other faith traditions as well. But I'll speak from a Christian perspective, and I believe it really starts with practicing spiritual disciplines. And what I mean by that is engaging in consistent worship, prayer, Bible reading, you know, reading scripture, trying to get an understanding of what that is. And that's often best done, not just personally, but in a small group, meditation. So first is leading a life of practicing these spiritual disciplines is, I believe, at the center of that. And, you know, it's when you describe, you know, looking for God's will and God's calling, you know, it's both, I would describe both simple and difficult. And by simple, I mean, you know, there are some items that are pretty clear, you know, in the Bible, and those reflected in the Ten Commandments, do not steal, love your neighbor, do not lie, and so on. So those are pretty evident. I think where it becomes more of a challenge is when you have, you know, decisions to make, like what should we price this product? What's our corporate strategy? Which person should I hire, and so on. And those aren't simple. You know, the Bible doesn't say much too much specifically about those decisions. So that's where I believe reflection, prayer, communicating with people, trying to get a better understanding of where that fits. And you know, there are going to be times when, you know, you may get a distinct message from God, and it may not be. But to take a step of faith and see if that decision is confirmed or not, but to stay in relationship with God is, I believe, where it begins. And that's ultimately what God really wants more than anything, more than any achievements or accomplishments that we have, is we stay in relationship with Him and try to follow His will as best as we understand it. So I think that's where it begins, and to me, that's been very helpful in any way in my career, and as I've seen reflected in the career of others, people that I've interviewed for my book.
Yes, and the rewards of staying in relationship with a living God are so many because of a couple of different important reasons that I can speak to. Is that God does not always, we won't always hear purposed messaging from the audible voice of God. We will often have interpretations of what God's will is for our leadership, our workforce, our company. Those messages will come in multiple different ways. God is speaking to us all of the time, and relationship, therefore, is the most important factor. And I also personally believe in my walk with God that there is such a richness and a clarity to be able to interpret what God is doing next. We understand this from the Bible, from the tribe, the Issachar tribe, and we understand that there is an ability to discern the times. And when we have a relationship, however that is for us in daily life, and I believe that God truly wants us to come as we are, that there's a redemptive quality in just the beauty of arriving as who we are in that relationship, that the messages will begin to pour out in our lives in very amazing ways. What would you believe are the defining characteristics or nuances here? If we take the question a little further, between the leaders who may be rectifying a moral compass in business or straightening up their act or to onboard corporate social responsibility or other actions that the person might be taking, and those who are leading specifically by walking in faith, perhaps even with an apostolic calling over their lives to prepare and equip others and usher others into their destinies. I know that one of your blog contributors, Chris Norwood, with the next generation millennials, what do you think that the nuances are between leaders who may be doing one, keeping a compliance, if you will, and those who are actually leading specifically by walking in faith?
Well, I applaud the efforts of those executives, corporate executives, business leaders that are interested in corporate responsibility. I believe that's a good thing to do. It's essential. And those folks, like you mentioned, Chris Norwood, who runs a tutoring organization called Bay Area Tutoring Association, with helping young people and tutors and educators, helping to equip these young people for their lives ahead. So I applaud all of those efforts. One thing that I would say, from a business and a corporate perspective, is that I believe social responsibility begins with first running a successful company. And if a company isn't successful, isn't profitable, then can't hire people, can't pay people, and can't contribute to the community in one way or another. And that's sometimes lost in those discussions. So I believe running a successful business is sort of the first step in doing that. And then that allows other people to then use whatever resources they have to help the community in ways that they see that are personally rewarding for them. And obviously the company also taking a role in the community to be an active member in the community. So I think that there are a variety of things that can be done. And maybe one side comment, Violet, that I can make, and this may be one that would distinguish leaders who maybe you're not of faith, and I think you can do a great job and run a wonderful company, but to distinguish those that are not and those that are committed followers of Christ. And I would say this, that there is a difference in the definition of success. And I say that because this is how I lived. It's most people in the way I lived would define success as achieving respect, fame, wealth in some way or another, and even happiness. But what I've found is I've become a follower of Christ is really there is a different definition of success. And success really has to be tied to the purpose that God has given you and to the calling that he's given you, so that success comes in being an example and glorifying God in all that we do and to adhering to the calling that God has given us, so that while leaders may be successful in business, and I found this in the people, the 80 or so people that I've interviewed for my blog and my book, that's not ultimately what their goal is. And the result of that is there is a sense of kind of being anchored, being contented, not necessarily contented with the way the world is, but contented in that relationship that they have with God. And you don't go through the roller coaster of success and lack of success and so on. And I'll use one example. You mentioned in your introduction, Victor Ho. Victor runs Five Stars, a startup company that he felt a calling from God to put together. And it's in the vicinity of maybe 5 years old today, and it has in the vicinity of about 500 employees and a very successful company. And Victor said an amazing thing to me. He's living his business, he says, to glorify God and running the business by biblical principles. And then he said an amazing statement, which he says, even if this business were to go down in flames, I'd want to be a light of the world. And to me, that puts it in perspective that, we're not guaranteed. God doesn't guarantee success whether you're a follower of Christ or not. But what he does expect and does want us is to live in relationship with him in whatever we do, whether we achieve success, whether there is what the world would call failure in a business or whatever. But that's where that relationship that with God being anchored in his presence is really what followers of Christ try to do.
Yes, and that's very well said. Thank you so very much. Very rich answer. It's absolutely true. There is an anchoring that happens and an overflowing in our lives that happened that is undeniable, unmistakable, and irreplaceable. Would you please finish this sentence with the first thought that comes to mind when I say to you, 21st century leaders walk in faith because?
Well, I would say the first thing that comes to mind is that everyone has faith in something. And I don't know that it's changed necessarily in the 21st century, except maybe that there is more of an emphasis on material success and whatever that may be, fame, wealth. I think that I have a sense that there is more of that, but I don't think that that's changed dramatically from centuries earlier. But each one of us has put our faith in something. And we practice faith every day. And that's if you're an agnostic or an atheist, you have a worldview. Everyone has a certain worldview. What I'm encouraged to find is that some of these leaders in Silicon Valley who are truly walking in their Christian faith and trying to run their businesses and run their lives, as I mentioned before, anchored to God. An example you had mentioned, Pat Gelsinger and his in your introduction. And Pat has written a book called The Juggling Act, Balancing Family, Faith, and Work. And, you know, that is one of the big challenges we all face, but especially in Silicon Valley. But Pat did an amazing thing. When he runs VMware, a $6 billion software company, fifth largest software company in the world. When he was being interviewed by the board of directors at EMC, which is the job he had prior to coming to VMware, he gave them a copy of his book in which he is very explicit about his Christian faith. And he told them, hey, listen, this is who I am. You hire me if you want or don't hire me. But he wanted to make sure that they knew the perspective that he was coming from. And of course, he's been an incredibly successful individual, the youngest vice president at Intel and so on. But, you know, he was really wanted to get the message. This is who he is. So I am, you know, encouraged and excited when I find leaders like that who have a sense of running their businesses by biblical principles. So I'm encouraged when I see leaders like Pat and some of the others you mentioned in your introduction that are emerging, and hopefully examples to many of us.
Thank you to our distinguished guest, Skip Vaccarello, author of Finding God in Silicon Valley. Listeners can learn more about Silicon Valley Leaders Faith Gatherings and Keynote Prayer Breakfast, buy the book on Amazon, and contact our guest at his website, FindingGodInSiliconValley.com. I am Violet Koshua, Intuitive Business Analyst. Listeners can contact me at www.newdefinitionleadership.com. Please join us on the third Thursday of each month, 10 o'clock Pacific Time. New Definition Leadership is a conscious business enterprise. All rights reserved.
Violet, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your time today, Skip. God bless.